Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the trials of singleness. And I think I better repeat my definition of trial. It is the subjection of a person or thing to a test or examination. The state or fact of being tried by suffering, especially a test of one's virtue, faith, or patience. And singleness is certainly a test of your virtue, your faith, and your patience. I receive many letters from women who wish that they were married, and I receive many more letters from women who wish that they were not married. And bitterness characterizes a good many of those letters. Even anger at God for not giving a husband or for giving the wrong one. Remember, every experience, if given to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy. And I have a dear friend named Liz who is quite a writer, and she wrote me this letter. "I've come to the conclusion, the older I get, that I will never understand the makeup and the substance of what lies within these Christian relationships and marriages today. I get so sorrowfully concerned and grieve over women and men who have no regard for the principles of each individual person's human integrity. This God-given gift of life, packaged with soul and bone and marrow and emotion and will, that God's ownership of each man and each woman has nothing to do with their want and passion to have for themselves this person for a relationship. Their want is merely filling up empty holes. They do not consider the aspects or sacrifices involved with real love. They do not consider the absolutely glorious treasure that God builds day in and day out within all of us. Pearls and gems of wisdom and heavenly possession. As this want becomes merely physical nakedness, thinking that being known in that way will become the pathway to fulfillment. Oh, Elizabeth, whatever happened to the ideals of hidden treasures and purity and substance? I know by the sound of my fingers against these keys as I write that God's way with me is so marvelous and intense, mysteriously holy in all my commonplaces, so precious in my desire that my want for his whole will overwhelms me at times, that sharing this pathway with just any man wanting to know would cheapen its cost as well as its glory for me. And so I do what you and my mother have said for years. I keep my distance. Keep dear treasures stored inside. I become the mystery. I lower my head and heart in crowds of wanton pleasure. And I stand back and watch. This hunt takes place, this groping lust in the wanting for oneself what God makes so holy and precious. This want for another man, this want for another woman, as it almost becomes man as the beast in the wild, trying to find just any meat to satisfy, as there then becomes no regard for the meat, only its satisfaction. There's a daily cost involved here, at present for me, it seems, this setting apart. Not too many women I know who think like myself. Knowing this cross will cost me something, as day after day I find all these little somethings amount to nothing that his grace shall not overcome nor sustain. Singleness is a cross, isn't it? It is a test of your virtue, your patience, and most especially of your faith in God. Does he know what he's doing? Does he realize how broken your heart is? St. Francis de Sales wrote a letter to a woman. She happened to be a pregnant woman. He said, "It is necessary before all things, my daughter, to obtain tranquility, not because it is the mother of contentment, but because it is the daughter of the love of God and of the resignation of our own will. How holy we would be, dear daughter, how agreeable to God, if we knew how to properly use the subjects of mortification that our vocation affords." Now, it's interesting that these spiritual principles are applicable just as much to a pregnant married woman as they are to a single, unpregnant woman or man. Tranquility is the daughter of the love of God and of the resignation of our own will. He goes on to say, "I beg you to put yourself in the presence of God and to suffer your pains before him. Do not keep yourself from complaining, but this should be to him in a filial," that means a spirit such as a son or a daughter would have. "Make your complaints to him in a filial spirit, as a little child to its mother. For if it is done lovingly, there is no danger in complaining, nor in begging cure, nor in changing place, nor in getting ourselves relieved. But do this with love and with resignation into the arms of the good will of God. You can only give God what you have, and in this time of affliction you have no other actions. At present, my dear daughter, your beloved," and that's capitalized, so he's referring to God, "is to you a bundle of myrrh, sweet-smelling spice. Cease not to press him close to your breast. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Ever shall he be in my heart. Isaiah calls him the man of sorrows. He loves sorrows, and he loves those who have them. Do not torment yourself to do much, but suffer with love what you have to suffer. God will be gracious to you, madam, and will give you the grace to arrange this life of which you speak to me." And I want to read a poem. It's not exactly a poem, but if all of us, single, married, widowed, divorced, would take this attitude, I think we'd find peace, we'd find joy, we'd find contentment that we are never going to find until we take this attitude. And this is what it says: "I am willing to receive what thou sendest." Well, instead of reading it in Old English, I'll just change that to "send." "I am willing to receive what you send, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to do what you command, and to be what you require. I am willing to receive what you send, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to do what you command, and to be what you require." And then here's a little poem, not connected with that one, but along the same lines. "Love divine has seen and counted every tear it caused to fall, and the storm which love appointed was its choicest gift of all. The trials of singleness. Are you suffering? Does singleness seem like a storm to you? Well, love divine has seen and counted every tear it caused to fall, and the storm which love appointed was its choicest gift of all." And let me read to you from 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, and this is the answer to the great why, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I won't read verses 8 and 9 because I just want to remind you that Peter here is talking about that trial. The trial of singleness is one of them. It is a test of your faith, your patience, and your love for God.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.